Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get the conversation started. Young Adults Talk presents Breaking Change. You talk. Let's sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and how they feel about the society they live in today. It's Breaking Change, Youth Talk, every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back, relax, and let's enjoy the conversation being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
All right. Good afternoon. God bless you. I greet you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus the Christ, God the Holy Spirit. I pray all is well with you throughout the land, wherever you are, what's going on with you. I pray that you are leaning on God. You know what I'm saying? This is Resurrection Weekend, so I hope everybody's minds and thought process is on Christ. You understand? Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Father God, we come in the name of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, asking you to forgive us for our sins, Lord God. As we come, thank you for a glorious day that you've allowed us to see with breath in our bodies and our eyes to open to see your beautiful creation. Lord God, we ask that you bless us today, Father God, as we break chains with our youth today, our young adults, Lord God. Let our ears open to hear their hearts, Father God, and to hear everything that they have to say to us, Father God. Let us bridge the gap, Father God, to come together to feed and educate our young people as they educate us. Father God, stand guard over us today, Father God. Bless everyone that's sick out there, Father God. Tend to their families, strengthen and comfort them. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody suit up. Put on your full armor, God. It's time to break chains. If youth talk, the youth are ready to talk. Are you ready to listen? Right here on YAT Radio, we're signing on, y'all. Let's go.
Yeah. Pay attention to everybody.
Devil wears pride, and he's in the details. So I rock the spot and pay attention to the details. Enemy fly, wanna tilt scale, see me fail. God got me aimed on the right track, so I want the rail. I'm covered by his flames. I'm so fly, I ain't gonna hell.
Wake me up from this nightmare, cause all I see on these social sites is a pocket of pictures of females that twerk too for a cheap price. Little dudes, they tone guns, wanna be a thug, so you a killer, right? Showing love, get you killed tonight. Showing money, get a lot of life. That's Instagram fame overnight. Don't believe those lies, Lucia telling you. The devil's in the details, too much television and radio. Nonsense on YouTube, they'll despise you like the king of Jews when you set the standard for being right. A J. Cole world out chill and without Christ. Life. Ain't think twice when I wrote this. Hope all the little kids quote this. Blind eyes being open. No optical illusion, we focus. What they talking about, said I'm preaching. Said prophetically speaking, no deacon. And I'm saying not just on the weekend.
Devil wears pride, and he's in the details. So I rock the spot and pay attention to the details. Enemy fly, wanna tilt the scale and see me fail. God got me aimed on the right track, so I won't derail. I'm covered by his pains.
I know that I got a purpose, and it don't matter what I gotta go through, I know that it's worth it. I spit my experiences, blood and sweat and tears over these verses. Been through hell and I water, so I know I got a lot to work with. Whole lot to work with. Putting on the devil like I'm serving on him. So take this pop up, close the curtains on him. And ain't acting like I'm perfect on him. Cause I got problems, but I'm working on them. This is a daily walk, yeah, yeah, a daily walk. People expecting the babes to walk and make mature decision, that's crazy talk. Big brother and I, and I show compassion to the living, not to try to make it happen. With love and kindness we draw so we can pass them. The least among us is watching your reaction.
Yeah,
you listen to this chorus and you thinking it's about fashion. Come follow me deeper in that water under the rabbits. Pay attention to the detail. A lot of times we fail, need to repent and then bounce back. Back on the scene like a resale. Yeah, see all things work together for good to prevail. But we gotta let go of that sin, cause it's sinking its nostrils like a piecemeal.
Devil wears pride, and he's in the details. So I rock the spot and pay attention.
to the details, enemy fly. Wanna tilt your head and see me fail. God got me things on the right track, so I won't derail. I'm covered by the stains, I'm so fly, I ain't going to hell.
Bosses ain't gotta brag about it. Gangsters don't have to advertise. Christians, man, we just walk it out. Niggas see the difference off in our lives. I messed up, gon' get penalized. Cause my big bro, he been alive. What he did for me on Calvary, man, that's history. No archives, I got the Holy Spirit, so I ain't tongue-tied. I'ma finish the race, man, I don't get tired. And it's still death to religion. You believe that, you forgive it. Said it's all about that relationship. He created it in the beginning. And I refuse to let this go to waste. Had to get a taste of the grace. And all dogs on the but that's why he's so worthy. Second sound like Abraham, I'm blessed to be your blessing. Without money, I'm still something, but without God, I'm nothing. I see the enemy round the corner, but a fresh anointing up on me. I'm plugged into the spot, so when he speak, I hear his voice. I'ma rub the kingdom till I go hush. They're gonna feel me, they ain't got no trust. Yeah, I'm plugged into the spot, so when he speak, I hear his voice. I'ma rub the kingdom till I go hush. They're gonna feel me, they ain't got no trust. Yeah.
Devil wears pride. And he's in the details, so I rock the spot. Just pay attention to the details, and let me fly. Wanna tilt the scale and see me fail. God got me aimed on the right track, so I won't derail. I'm covered by the stains, I'm so fly, I ain't gonna hell.
Youth Night.
Listen to our young people break chains
with Young Adults Talk right here on YAT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. What's going on? Y'all forgive me for that. I wasn't trying to hit music. We're doing something different today. I'm mobile while I'm doing my show, so y'all ride with me because we ride. Welcome back to Breaking Chains as Youth Talk. This is the day where we come together and talk to our youth, and we talk, we ask some questions, and we talk about their lives. We talk about things that's going on around them, how they feel about the world, and things that's going on. And today we're talking about our justice system. They want to talk about that. So I'm the co-host, Pastor Rod. So let me turn all of our hosts on and let them introduce themselves. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. Ray Bell, is your show. Take over, ma'am.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the justice system. And when I had first told, like, Anaya the topic, she was kind of confused. So I kind of wanted to, like, explain it more. So kind of like, because most of the time when we talk about stuff, you know, we talk about how it affects us, you know, as black girls and, you know, as black people. So that's kind of what we're talking about, how the justice system affects us. So I want to start off because I had thought of this topic because at first I didn't really want to talk about this because Shakira suggested it. And I didn't really want to talk about it, but then I had thought about, because we were downtown, all of us, we were downtown last weekend, and it was just the fact that, like, we were scared that something, my mom was scared mostly that something could happen to us because we were black girls downtown by ourselves, so she was scared, and, you know, that has to do with, you know, how the justice system is not necessarily doing its job properly to, you know, protect us, so... It's just kind of crazy how we have to be scared when there's supposed to be, you know, police and stuff like that to protect us.
Hmm. So we're talking about the criminal justice system today.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep. And you know, we haven't really encountered, like, stuff with the justice system, but we have seen it firsthand. Like, for example, there was a little black boy who had actually got arrested. He had picked a flower out of these people's neighborhood. I mean, not neighborhood, out of their yard. And they took him to jail for it. And he was, like, he was facing, like, felony charges of, like, damage to property and stuff like that. And that's one reason why we want to talk about this, because, like, that's very, very wrong. Like, he was 6 years old. So, yeah. Like, and then, like, it was so bad to where, like, when he was in court, they had to give him a coloring book, like, so, because he couldn't pay attention in court, so they had to give him a coloring book so he would pay attention. And like, if somebody is not able to sit in court and pay attention, what makes you think that they're able to face charges?
That's a very valid point. Very valid point. I like that. Who else do we have on the line with you today?
Jakira. I don't know if Jakira is on or not, but I don't know Anaya and Layla are, because Layla is right next to me. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
can everybody?
They're on.
Can we get everybody to speak and say their names and introduce themselves to the listening audience? We are live on the radio.
Hi, it's Layla.
Hi, Layla. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you for asking. Who else do we have on the line today?
Hey, I'm Anaya.
Hi,
Anaya. I'm trying to get spring break.
All right, spring break. Wow, okay. Yeah, well, this is a good topic for spring break while all of the young people are going to be out of school and moving around. So let's talk about this. If y'all don't mind, I want to throw something out there so I can have y'all can bounce off some of these things that go on. You know, the American criminal justice system is unlike any other country. It's not represented by a single all-encompassing institution, but it comes from the U.S. Constitution. And a lot of things, let me throw this out there too. We're not being disrespectful or anything about what I'm about to say, but a lot of these systems, my sisters, because I have my sisters here hosting, but my young ladies and my young men out there listening, this system was not set up to do anything to help you. This system was actually set up to do everything to harm you and keep you down. So I got to put that out there. When you go back and read the U.S. Constitution, everything that was put into play, the laws that was put into play, had everything to do to keep us down as black people. So and it's bad now because a lot of these laws that were written way back then still has an effect today. So let's talk about how y'all feel about, you know, the things that you were seeing, you know, the justice system handling the George Floyd case, Ms. Brianna, you know what I'm saying? You know, all of these cases that's been going on, even what you know about slavery. So I just wanted to throw that out there so I can give y'all something more to talk about, because I really want y'all to really talk about this today and go strong on it. So go ahead.
Well, like what you were saying, like with Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, like one common thing I tend to see is like, oh, but they did this, oh, but they did that. But even if somebody did this or did that, they don't deserve to be shot. Like, for instance, they'll say, oh, but he was George Floyd. Like, for example, like with the George Floyd case, they were saying like, oh, he had drugs in his system, this and that. But even if somebody was a criminal or has drugs in their system, they don't deserve what happened to, you know, what they don't deserve what happens to George Floyd. And another thing I see, I seen it was a headline for the George Floyd. It was the man who killed him testifying, and he said that he was just doing what he was taught, which is crazy because as a police officer, he said, and that makes it worse that he was just doing what he was taught. Because that's something he literally said in the court. He said, like, when asked, like, why did you do this? He said, I was doing what I was trained to do, which makes it 1,000 times worse. Because, you know, we were thinking, you know, he did this because he just was aggressive and he had it out for that black man. No, he did that because that's what he was told to do, which is just, it makes it 1,000 times worse and 1,000 times crazier. Because it's not like, you know, he just did it because he did it because he was taught to do that. And then with Breonna Taylor, like for example, you know, everybody said she was sleeping, and then it was found out that she might not have been sleeping or whatever. But you know, these minor details shouldn't like affect the case. It should have no effect on it. Like whether or not she was sleeping, she didn't deserve to be shot.
So with these cases that are going on nationally like this, and maybe worldwide. What? How? And everybody pitch in, because I'm sure everybody has experienced something. How do you feel about how, you know, some of your friends are handled, or people that you see, that you know, that have been mishandled? Let's talk about where it starts with the law enforcement first, like you're talking about the police. And he said that's what he was taught. How do you all feel about what do you feel that the job of law enforcement is supposed to be?
I feel like it's their job, you know, keep us safe and protect us. Like, for example, like kind of going off like what I said, it's their job to protect us. Police officers in countries like Japan and stuff like that, they don't even have, like, guns. Like, they don't have that. They don't have guns because you shouldn't, like, because guns are just, you can't have a gun in Japan, and police officers don't have guns. So, like, you shouldn't need that to be able to protect us. But, like, even if, like, you shouldn't have to, you know, shoot somebody dead with it. But, yeah, I think, you know, police officers' job overall is just to keep us safe and make us feel safe. And, you know, it's not all police officers, but with what's happening today, we don't feel that. And I know me personally, when I see a police officer, I kind of get, like, I'm not, like, scared. Well, I'm not, like, just super scared, but when I see a police officer, I get scared. So, and I feel like that shouldn't be taking place. Like, I shouldn't see a police officer and be scared that something's going to happen to me.
Absolutely. I do agree. I do agree. Ladies, y'all chime in. You know, Ray shouldn't be the only one talking here. Me, I shouldn't be talking at all, really. I want to hear from y'all.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with Ray. Like, their job is to protect us and keep us safe. But especially us as black people, we don't feel protected and safe when we see or around a cop, or when a situation happens where we have to call a cop, we get even more scared for our life because we don't know what the outcome is going to be when we call that cop and they get here. We don't know how is the situation going to go from worse, or is it going to get better, and we're taking a risk, especially as black people, because I feel like it's more us that's being harmed by the cops, because when a white person, most of the time a white person don't even die at the hands of a cop because they restrain them, they'll chase them, they won't even point their gun at if it was a white person, but when it's a black person, that's the first thing they think of is I have to pull my gun out. I have to point it at them. I have to protect myself. That's the first thing they think of when they see a black person in a certain situation. But when it's a white person, they want to restrain them. They want to tackle them and put them in handcuffs. But when it comes to a black person, they don't do that. And it's just scary because we don't know. The people that are supposed to protect us and keep us safe, we don't know if they're actually going to do that and do their job. And we take a risk every time we see one, or we're by one, get pulled over by one, or we have to call a police. And that's a risk that we take with our lives every day. And that's not a good thing. They need to do better. They put these police on trial. They make them leave for a certain amount of time, but it doesn't ever get better. They go back to their job and they live like nothing ever happened. But while other people have lost their family members because the police aren't doing their job correctly.
I agree with Layla like 100%, and I want to add on to basically how she was saying they don't treat us the same. And I say that because they automatically would judge you based off what you wear, what you look like, your skin tone, what type of car you drive, like off little things, and they will easily judge you off that. And I say that because we was in the car, and we was in this nice car in a white neighborhood. It was like cars like this we might get pulled over for having a car like this in this type of neighborhood, if you understand what I'm saying, especially with us being black.
like, oh, black people over here with, you know, a nice car, they're going to automatically think negatively, like, based off things, what we do, what look like. So, yeah.
For what everybody is saying, the same thing about the police, that is called racial profiling, which is actually based on racism, which is something y'all talked about a few weeks ago. So with police racial profiling, and it has been going on for a long time, and me being a black man, trust me, I do know about it. However, when we look around today, why do you feel that law enforcement, I hear what you're saying, how they racially profile us, but why do you think that they feel so intimidated and afraid of us as a people? Why do you feel that way? Because when you study God's word even tells you that you shouldn't do injustice in court. It says that you shouldn't be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. So that's not being done. So why do you feel that they attack us the way that they do?
I feel like they do that because of how we act. Like, if we see a police, the first thing you do is, you know, F12, and we just say all these negative things. Like, you know, black people in general, they always going to say something negative to the police, or, like, say something to trigger them as if we actually did something. Even if we did not do anything and you are innocent, you still talk back. Like, we really have, like, a bad mouth when it comes to things like that. Like, we really want to get our point across, even if it doesn't matter at all. So, and we like to argue.
So you feel we bring this on ourselves from the law enforcement, the reason why they treat us this way?
Yes, I do. Not all people, but yes. Because we're so used to, like, we think negative of them as if they think negative of us.
So, well, they do think negative of us, so, you know, they do. I think one of the problems is that we think so negative of ourselves because the things that we've been through as a people has still drifted along in the generations. It's been passed on. You know what I'm saying? So we display that. So I do agree with you to a certain extent, too, that we bring it on ourselves to a certain extent. But, you know, police officers treating us with guns first instead of restraint or a taser is very negative. I would love to hear from everybody on that question. Why do you feel that they are, you know, who was that just answered? Was that you, Layla, or Anaya, that just answered?
Anaya.
Okay. All right. Layla and Ray, so I would like to hear from you two about that. Why do you feel like they treat us the way that they do? You know, now you say, you know, because of the way that we act. How do y'all feel about that?
I think it kind of dates back all the way back to slavery because, like, you know, when slavery was happening, they wouldn't let black people, like, you know, learn how to read and learn how to write and stuff like that. And I think that's because they were scared we would become, you know, too smart, too powerful if we learn how to, you know, read and write. So I think it's kind of that same thing. It's just that ingrained fear of black people because black people are so smart and are so powerful that they just are scared. I think that's why. I think it just kind of dates back to that. Like, I'm trying to, like, connect it, but I don't know exactly how I'm trying to connect it. But I feel like that does have some sort of connect, like how they didn't want us to learn how to read and write, and they didn't want us to get the same education as us, as them. They didn't want us to have the same education opportunities as them because they thought we would, you know, be more successful or smarter than them. So I think it has something to do. I'm not exactly sure. Like, I'm not completely sure, but I think it has something to do with that. And, like, when Anaya said, like, you know, we say, you know, forget 12 or whatever, I think that has to do with because this thing of police brutality and racial profiling is nothing new. So it has to do with how police started treating us when the police system first came about. And I see something like very, you know, because it's a thing, you know, a lot of people talk about the justice system and, you know, police officers. And they said that we only really had a police system because slavery was abolished. So instead of keeping black people locked up one way, they just made the justice system and the police system to keep us locked up another way. So I think this just has to, you know, because it goes in a cycle. Like, it's one thing stops and then another thing starts, I in my opinion.
I agree with you, Ray, like, once again. But about the weapons thing, I believe that police pull weapons out quicker on black people because most African Americans drive around and walk around with a strap on them, with any type of weapon on them to protect themselves. So police, and people know that, like, it's common for people to carry weapons for their own safety. Plus, a lot of young kids are in, like, gangs and in the streets a lot. So they also keep weapons and don't really know how to use it. Like, they don't really have that, you know, mindset. They just know to use it if I'm threatened and I'm going to pull out my weapon. So police think the same way. Like, they know how we think. So they will automatically just pull out a weapon because they know that we might have weapons. So for their own safety.
To add on and to answer
the question, I think it's a couple different things. Like Ray said, it do stem back from slavery and also racism and stereotypes. And also, I think it also has to do with just how they teach police to begin with. This is something that they're teaching them. This isn't just something that they go and, like, they do on their own. This is something, like they be saying, this is their job, that's what they're supposed to do. This is something that the police force is teaching them. And because sometimes you also see some black officers, they also have this same mindset as these white officers. So it has to be something that they also, not just something that they believe in, not just the, it has to do with the racism and all the stereotypes that they have against black people, but also something that these police people are teaching each other in the force. I watched this movie, it's called The Hate U Give. It's a book and it's a movie. And if you read or watch the movie, the main character of the book and movie, her uncle is a police officer. He's black. And she asked him a question. She was like, if you saw this white man in this business suit in the car, would you be more suspicious of him or the black man, or the black man who's not really dressed up as a business person and all of that? And he said he would be more suspicious of the black man because he doesn't look like somebody you could trust. And this is coming from another black man. He's an officer. And that's just the way that they, like, teach them and how to think like that. And that you have to be more suspicious of the black man versus the white man. And that also, it also has to do with black people, like, people in the forest, black people with their own, like, colorist issues and all of that. So I think it just comes, it's a variety of different reasons why they treat us like this and why they think how they think and, like, the reasons they do the stuff they do.
Okay.
I definitely think Layla, she kind of summed up, like, all the reasons together, because there is a reason. And then what Anaya said, you know, black people carry weapons and stuff. And I feel like she was kind of trying to, like, relate black people's behavior to police behavior. I think that black people's behavior just comes from their fear of the police. Well, not all of them, but some of them. Like, some people might carry a weapon because they're scared that the police are going to get to them. Or, like, for example, you know, some black people take the back roads instead of driving on the main street because they don't want to get got by. They don't even want to. Like, my mom, she's really paranoid about police. Like, she doesn't even, she could be doing, she's, 9 times out of 10, she's not doing anything wrong. You know, she's driving perfectly. She's not speeding or anything. But if she sees the police, it almost makes her want to just go back home because she's so scared and paranoid by the police. And it's not even that she's scared. She doesn't. She's not scared that something's going to happen to her. She just doesn't want to be pulled out. Let me rephrase. I'm talking a little bit too fast. It's not that she thinks that she's going to be doing something wrong, but she just doesn't want to be pulled over by the police, period, because she doesn't know what's going to happen. And I remember one time we were pulled over by the police. I think my mom was like, she might have been speeding or something. But it was like literally when I was so scared. Like, I feel like you shouldn't, like, even if you are getting pulled over, which is something, you know, it shouldn't be that big of an issue. But you shouldn't feel scared. Like, I was very scared in that moment when my mom got pulled over. And I shouldn't have to feel like that, which is why I was
I absolutely understand what Ray is saying. I think it's just the fact that they have the power, as much power as they do over us. Like, they can literally pull you over for no reason just because they want to. Like, they like missing people. Like, they can do that. And they can do little things to just get at people. And I think it's just the thought of, say, they pull you over playing or joking or something, then you get an attitude, then they want to start, it's going to, you know, start some type of thing. And then you might, you know, get arrested or something. And I really just think it's just about the power they have, which makes them scared.
Mm. Yeah, and then when people, like, you know, like, defund the police or whatever, the part of the reason why they say that is because nowadays the police have way too much power and way too much authority. Like, I know, and people are like, when people say we need to defund the police, someone's always counter-argument is, if we defund the police, who are you going to call when it's an emergency? But that's not what that means. I also wanted to talk about that, because it doesn't mean, like, don't give the police any money, stop the police. Excuse me. But the police, they have too much power. They have way too much power, because if they didn't have as much power as they did, they wouldn't be doing the things that they do. Like Anaya said, they can pull you over and take you to jail for no reason and say you were speeding or say you did this or you did that. So it's just like, yeah, that's why we say defund the police. It's not because we don't want the police to exist. Because I think, you know, if we abolish the police completely, it would be chaos. But we just need to, and then defund the police as in take their funding and put it elsewhere. Like, they don't need as much money as they get for guns as they get for guns, for example. I don't know how much money they get, but I'm just saying that as an example. So that's what people mean by defund the police. I don't know if anybody who's listening, y'all probably have heard that statement before, but that's kind of, I just kind of wanted to, you know, go over that. Because I would say, and then, like, a lot of people say, like, when they say defund the police, have certain police for certain things. Like, there's already certain police for certain things, but, like control those groups. And, like, for example, when it's a call for, like, domestic violence or something, have someone who is trained in domestic violence and handling those type of situations go out for that and this and that. Because I was thinking about that not too long ago. Like, why, when there's domestic violence, they just call the police? Why don't they call someone who's specially trained? And then, like, the police don't go to police school for long enough. Like, they only go there for, like, a certain number of months, when it should be way longer than that. And they should be, you shouldn't, like, you know, just send somebody, like, into the police force after a couple months. There should have to be at least, like, 3 years or so of training to become a police officer, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, law enforcement is the one of the first components of the criminal justice system anyway. But, you know, police, you're talking about the training of the police. The police are supposed to be trained to conduct police procedures within rules prescribed by the law. Remember what I said now about the laws that are written that they have to go by. The laws that were written were written during the time of, like you said, you just said it, during the slavery era. So these laws were put into play so that you could keep black people in check, in order, and have control over them. So they're still enforcing those same laws today in 2021 over black people. That's why you see law enforcement being so strong-armed and racially profiling black people, because of the law that was written. They're still following the laws that was written when the America was built by black people. So let me throw this out there real quick. Our life didn't start from the slavery era. Our life started at the beginning of time, when God created the heavens and the earth, when he made man. Okay, so let me walk forward. The reason why they hate us so much, my sisters, my brothers, especially my sisters on this phone, is because if you remember what Pastor Kemp told you a few weeks ago when he told you that y'all are princess. You know, you're about to grow to be queens because that's where you really come from. You are the original kings and queens of the earth, and they know that. They know that. So where we are with law enforcement today, they're still trying to keep us into that mindset that we are nobody, because the law said that we were like only 3/4 of a human. We were treated less than a dog. Read the laws. They're still there. And so that's why you see the law enforcement treating blacks the way that they do, because it says in the law that we're only 3/4 human beings. So that means that we're less than a dog. Read it. It's there. Yep.
When you were saying like the 3/4 of a human being thing, the other day I remember I was taking my notes in history, and like when slavery was still going on, they didn't even know whether or not to count slaves as like people in the population. Like it was a whole debate. Like the northern states were like, slaves are people. So when we count, like, you know, populations and stuff, we should count slaves. But, like, everybody from Southwest was like, they're just slaves. They don't count. So, like, that's kind of where that comes from, too. Like, we're not even 3/4 of a person. Because they didn't even know if they wanted to count slaves, like, when they were doing, like, population numbers and stuff like that. Because they didn't know if they wanted to judge us as if we were people or not, which is so, you know, depreciating. And then to think about, because I always think about, like, when a person says something bad about slavery, and then someone says, well, you should be grateful that you were bought over here in the first place. That doesn't even make sense. Why would you take us from our life that we probably were enjoying in Africa to bring us here? And why would we have to be grateful for that? Which just doesn't make any sense to me. But, yeah, I just wanted to add that.
It's a mind thing. If you pay attention to a lot of the stuff that's being said and shown on the media, we talked about this the other week, the media, the radio, a lot of it is about a mind thing to try to make you believe that you are nobody, that you are less than a human being. You know what I'm saying? So they're trying to keep you at that low level, and that's why law enforcement treats you the way that they do, because of the laws. Read the laws. Let's go to the next aspect of the justice system, y'all, because one thing that you need to remember, all law enforcement mission is the same. No matter where you go, it's supposed to be to enforce the laws, to maintain peace and order in the communities they serve, and provide their constituencies safety and security. That means that you are the enemy in law enforcement eyes, so just be careful in everything that you do and every step that you take. Let's go to the adjudication. Let's talk about the adjudication. The adjudication, y'all, it's the process. It's the court process. It starts with the law enforcement, and once you're arrested, it's time to go to the court process. How do you all feel about the court process, the pretrial, the arraignment, the trial, the sentencing, and all of that? How do you feel that that takes place in our court system? Everybody pitch in on that. Talk about your court system.
Well, going back to, you know, the beginning of time, where it says, you know, no man is innocent until proven. Every man is innocent until proven guilty. I feel like black people don't necessarily get that privilege, especially black men or people who might have the quote-unquote gangster look and have tattoos and stuff like that. We don't get the privilege of being innocent until proven guilty, which everyone is supposed to have. We don't get that. So I feel like that's the number one flaw in the court system, because we don't get that. Like I just said, we don't get the privilege of being innocent until proven guilty. We're guilty until proven innocent, which is just backwards all the way around, starting with that. And then, like, you know, yeah, but that's really my main takeaway from that. We don't get that we're innocent until proven guilty.
Okay. Next.
I don't really know what to say. I was just
But I do agree with Ray about the whole we're guilty until proven innocent, because they swear that you need proof. If you don't have proof, then you're guilty. If, like, say the police say you did something and you still, you don't have no way to back up your own self. Like, that's why a lot of people have to get these lawyers that cost a lot of money, which a lot of people in the African-American community cannot afford. And that's why so many of us are locked up today, even if most, like, a lot of people are locked up for no reason. I'm not saying everybody, because a lot of people do commit crimes that they actually did and deserve the time that they got. But I do go back to the amount of time that people get for certain crimes is unreasonable. I do feel that. And I know a child, it was a teenager, I don't remember his age, and he had got arrested for some years for stealing some gum out of a store. And it was crazy. But, yeah, stuff like that. You don't know. Sorry.
Oh, and I also want to add on about, because there's so many, it's black people who get put in, who get put in prison, especially at young ages, and they get put in there to only find out later that they didn't do the crime that they was proven guilty for. And I think that's just so messed up, because if they did their job properly and didn't have this messed up and racist mindset, then those people would have got to live their life. Like, for example, what is it? I can't remember, but the series, the boys on the Netflix series, I think it was five of them or so. Anyways, they were like really young. They were teenagers. They were teenagers in high school, and they got put in prison for so long. They didn't get to live their life. And then one of them, who was in there longer than all of his friends. He was in there longer for all of them. They didn't even have any evidence against him, and he got put in there for so long. And some people might be like, oh, well, they got a lot of money, they ended up famous, blah blah blah, but it's still messed up, because they spent most of their lives in jail. My mom, she has a friend who I can't remember if he's out already or he's getting out, but he's getting a lot of money because he was put in jail for something he didn't do. And that's just really messed up, even though that people will go be like, well, they got money for it, it's okay. No, it's not okay. They've missed so many opportunities in their life. My mom said he was like a really good basketball player, and he was getting scholarships for college, and he could have had a really good life with that. And it's just messed up because he didn't get to live that because he was black. And no, that's because that was the real reason. If it was a white man, they would have did their job properly. They would have done further research and found more evidence to put these men in jail. But because they're black, they put them in there, and they basically throw away the key, and they lose their lives for something that they didn't even do. And some of these crimes that they do, that people are, black men and women are guilty for, they put them in there for too long sometimes. That is like, sometimes they're in there for an unreasonable amount of time that they wouldn't have probably gotten if they were white.
About people getting falsely convicted. Like, even people, I think the man, his name might have been Emmett Till. I can't remember. But he had got convicted of a crime he didn't do, and he actually got the death sentence. And there's no bringing him back from that. Like, he got the death sentence for murdering. I can't remember if it was murdering or sexual harassing someone.
He got accused of sexual assault. Sexual assault of a white woman.
Yeah, and he didn't do it, and he got the death sentence. So,
correct.
I think I'm talking about somebody else. But
no, you're talking about Emmett Till. That happened to Emmett Till.
Oh, okay, yeah. But yeah, he got the death sentence, and that's just because there's no bringing him back. Like, you know, some people, you know, when they are wrongfully convicted, they're released and they're given money or whatever. But he got the death sentence. And then even on top of that, like Lay was talking about the missed opportunities, like the case she was just talking about, when they got out of jail still years before they found out that they were wrongly convicted, they couldn't, like, get jobs. They couldn't get houses. Like, a lot of them had to just go back and live with their parents. I remember one of the dudes, like, he's trying to get a job, like a corner store and, like, a restaurant. He couldn't get a job because he had been proven a felon for something he didn't even do.
That's the truth. So do you feel, do you feel that these cases like that are still going on today, correct? So there's no justice for black men, black people in the court system or with law enforcement. Is that what y'all are saying?
I think so. I mean, there are very few cases where, you know, they are proven innocent. But not very few. I don't really know the statistics. But sometimes I think once you go in to the court system, you don't come out. Like, that's my opinion.
Right, that's deep. What about you, Anaya? Is Anaya there?
One second.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, until she's ready, let me say this. We have to be mindful of because there's a process, and we got to be very careful of the process. The best thing to do for everybody out there is to go back and read the laws. First, read the Constitution of these United States of America, LLC, and read them and get an understanding of what it is that you need to be paying attention to. Because this is what, these are the things that, and all of the laws from the 1800s, 1700s, because 1776 was the Declaration of Independence, correct? When it was signed. So a lot of things and a lot of departments and a lot of laws were put into place to make sure, for instance, when the patent office, the U.S. Patent Office was started, it was started so that the white people, white men, white women, all of the inventions that our black men and women had created, they stole them and then took them to their patent office and got them patented in their name. So that's why you come to find out a lot of inventions that we did, we didn't get the credit for, and people still living off these inventions today. You know what I'm saying? Everything that people are using and doing, it comes from someone of African descent. You know what I'm saying? Everybody comes from African descent anyway. You know what I'm saying? But they don't want to acknowledge that. So I think that was Anaya that won. Are you ready, Anaya?
Yes. I'm sorry, just a lot of people are more now. But I wanted to add on and say about, you said how people get, like, do they get the justice that they need? And I don't feel as though, like, after a person dies, I don't feel as though they get the justice they need, because they try to, like, just pass the case, like, they just get rid of it. But people, a lot of people do, like, if they're still living or, you know, that type thing. But, yeah. Like, the George Floyd case, I don't feel like he got the justice that he needed, or Breonna Taylor, or, like, all the people that died, they'll be remembered, but still have no justice.
Like, and even for the George Floyd case, I don't even think that, like, in my opinion, I don't think there should be a case for that man. There's literally a video of him kneeling on George Floyd's neck. Like, I feel like he should. And then a lot of people say, well, he might not have killed George Floyd because George Floyd had drugs in his system. Either way, it doesn't matter if he killed him or not. You're not supposed to do that. That's not something you're supposed to do as a police officer. You're not supposed to be kneeling on somebody's neck. So I feel like he should go to jail regardless. I don't care if maybe George Floyd did die because he had drugs in his system, whatever. But I'm 90% sure he didn't. But even if he did, the man should still go to jail regardless, in my opinion. Because he was caught on camera doing a literal wrongful act.
Hmm.
so. And there's no justifying him kneeling on George Floyd's neck. And it's not like he was, like, kneeling on his back or kneeling on the ground. He was on his neck. There's no justifying that at all.
Mm. Absolutely. So with all of this going on in our criminal justice system, are the young people today aware of the laws that are put before them and have a clear understanding of what they mean? Do y'all know what they are and what they mean?
I don't think so, because I feel like it kind of goes with the way they teach it in school. Like, for example, like when you were talking about the Constitution and stuff, when we learn about that stuff, our teachers aren't making it engaging for us to learn about. Like, history has always been one of my least favorite subjects, not because I love learning about history, but far as school is one of my least favorite subjects, because in school, all we do is, you know, the teacher, and it's always most history teachers, they just, you know, put a PowerPoint up, take notes, and then that's it. You take the test, and then most students forget that it happens after the test. So when we're supposed to be learning about, like, history and our laws in school, we're not being engaged to what we actually want to learn. Like, for example, in seventh grade, you're supposed to take civics and geology. I can't remember what it is. But you're supposed to take civics, and, you know, civics has all to do with the justice system and the courts and all that. But our teacher, she just would give us PowerPoint notes and give us Nearpods, which is basically another form of a PowerPoint. She would just give us that and say, take the notes. And then she wasn't even, like, holding us accountable for taking the notes. Like, she was saying, well, if you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. So nobody, of course, if you're teaching like that, where you're not even teaching and you're just giving out a PowerPoint and say, take notes, nobody is going to be engaged in learning. So I think we don't know the laws. And the reason why is because you're supposed to be taught that in school, and we're not being taught properly. And, like, when you're learning something in school and it doesn't engage you in school and catch your mind, you're probably not going to try to learn about it outside of school, in my opinion.
Wow. How do you feel about that, Layla?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with Ray. It's definitely something that they're not really teaching us in school. I feel like, especially like current events, I feel like we should be talking more about current events, because yes, history is really important, and we'll see that more like how stuff like happens over, and if we compare how like the current events in our history, we can see how like stuff is just. It's just repeating. History repeats, and that's something they teach us. So they should show us that, and we should talk more about it. Because the way that they're teaching us, no one really cares. And like we see that we occasionally see this stuff on our phones or on the news and stuff. But most kids they don't really take it serious. They don't take it serious until it happens to them. Or it happens to someone close to them. They don't take it serious until they see it right in front of their faces that it's happening. They don't take it serious enough, and that's sad. And that they should be. We should be talking more about it in school. And school is a place where we're supposed to be learning, and they're supposed to be teaching us. But they don't. They don't teach us about these things, and we don't learn about them. And we should.
I agree with Layla saying, and I just want to add on to the part that you won't take, like, people won't take anything serious until it happens to them. That goes with COVID and racism and, you know, the justice system. You don't understand until it happens to you. So I get, like, how most, like, a lot of people would say, like, not understand it for real, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And here's something about that. Here's something about that before we go across the top of the hour. We have a problem within our communities that, you know,
our history, for number one, is not taught to us properly. And actually it's not to a certain extent it is the responsibility of the school system to teach us as well. But it also starts at home, that, you know what I'm saying? And there are some out there that don't face it at home. That's not encouraged to read a book and to learn who they are. So here's the thing. As a people, we have to learn who we are first before we can have high self-esteem for ourselves, before we can start acting like we really are somebody, because we really are somebody. And I think that we don't spend enough time. We spend more time on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, social media, on our telephones doing things, watching Real Housewives and going to the mall and hanging out, than we would to really want to pick up a book and to study about ourselves and how this system that we live under in the United States of America, how it is built to not equip us for a greatness of self. So when we listen, we've been knowing that for a very, very long time. We've been knowing that for a very long time. So let me ask you something. With us knowing that the system is against us, why do we continuously put ourselves into the system's hands? Ladies?
I think we don't, because, well, for some people, like you were saying, it's not taught. So when you're not, like, you know, when you're younger, when you're not taught to start learning your history, and it's not protected for all people, but when you're not taught that and it's not brought to your attention, you don't grow up to learn to know that. So I definitely think it has to do, you know, with how we are raised sometimes, because sometimes when we aren't taught those things, or we aren't started off having interest in these topics, we don't learn it. Because I feel like, me personally, the reason why I'm so interested in Black history and, you know, the justice system and all this type of stuff, because at a very young age, my parents started teaching me about this and telling me about this. Like, they started teaching me about my history as a Black female, and they started teaching me about the justice system and about the police system and all of that. So I feel like you were saying, when we aren't, you know, taught these things at home, that's the reason why we don't. And, you know, and I feel like the way we can start is by, you know, just as people start teaching our children this and start highlighting the importance, because a lot of parents do it. I'm not, you know, trying to blame anybody or anything, but a lot of parents don't. So it's just, you know, I think that's the reason why.
Okay. Anaya, Layla.
I totally agree with Ray about how you have to learn it. Like, we learn a lot of stuff growing up, and I feel as though your parents should teach you things before they actually try to put you out in the world, because everything will be new to you. That's like, so, yeah, I feel as though learning things while you're young would help. And also, as you get older, instead of just hearing about things and hearing what other people say, that try to learn stuff yourself. Like you said, the laws, we need to learn our laws. I know I don't know what the laws like that. So it'll be good for me if I want to actually, you know, be successful in this world and be able to move on, to actually learn what actually is supposed to happen, what actually is supposed to go on, other than just listening to what other people tell me is right.
That's good.
And then, you know, the add on about, you know, learning the laws ourselves, I feel like part of the reason we don't do that is because nowadays, especially, you know, with online learning, like we talk about how COVID affected us, our teachers give us a lot of work and they put a lot of stress on us. So it's kind of like, you know, sometimes after we're done with our schoolwork and done with our homework, we don't want to go unless it's something that is really, really interesting to us, which the laws aren't interesting to people, some people, like they should be. But unless it's something really, really interesting to us, we kind of don't want to, or even if it is sometimes, we don't want to, you know, learn something after we've already done school because we're tired. So I feel like that's kind of part of the reason, too.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with Ray on that. Because I really like to read. It's fun. Reading is fun to me. But like when I tell people I like to read, they assume I like to read anything, and that's not the case. I only like to read fiction stuff. I don't really like reading nonfiction and biographies and all of that, unless it seems interesting to me. And sometimes after I'm doing schoolwork, sometimes I want to read a book, but I don't, because I feel like I'm giving myself even more work, and I just want to take a break from feeling like I'm doing school. So that's definitely another reason why people don't go and do that, because sometimes we just want to break from school, and it's not interesting to all people, and that's understandable. Not everything is interesting to some people. It's stuff that we should know, but even though we should know it, we don't feel like going to read about it and learning about it, because some people find it boring, or they just feel like they're giving themselves more homework after spending all day doing homework and tests and learning and stuff, which is why we should be taught this in school, because all them hours of school should be taught. We should be learning stuff, useful stuff, and, you know, and then afterwards, if we feel like we want to know more about it, we go look it up and learn more about it.
Okay. All right. Anybody else got something to say on that before we go across the top of the hour? All right.
I don't. We were just saying we can have, you know, nothing else to add onto that.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, we're listening to Breaking Chains as Youth Talk right here on YET Radio. Get involved in the conversation, 858-357-9137. You got a topic you want to talk to these young people about, send them an email at webreakingchains@gmail.com, and you can live stream them at www.blogtalkradio.com. YET Radio, check it out. This show will be archived to be available an hour after the show for you to listen and download, so tell your friends, all right? We'll be right back. Here's a song for all of those people out there that's got a problem with us. We're going to play a song for you in just a second, and we're going to dedicate this to you, and we're going to have fun. It's YAT Radio, Breaking Chains. It's time to get the conversation started. Young Adults Talk presents Breaking Chains, Youth Talk. Let's sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and how they feel about the society they live in today. It's Breaking Chains, Youth Talk, every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back, relax, and let's enjoy the conversation being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
I like it. It's Youth Night.
Listen to our young people break chains
with Young Adults Talk right here on YAT Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Pastor Roger, co-host. I had to play that song because, you know, when Michael Jackson wrote that song, he was very serious about it because all he had to say is that they don't really care about us. Hey, I want to welcome everybody back to the show. If you talk, 858-357-9137, pick up the phone, give us a call. This call is being brought to you by the Williams Music Group, Right Now Productions. I want to say this, big shout out to Mr. Von Meadow and his wife, Ms. Brenda. We're actually mobile, moving right now. Breaking Chains is mobile right now. So we just thank God for the opportunity. Check this out. There's a lot going on in our justice system, and our young people are talking about it today. One thing that I want to say, though, if y'all don't mind, I need to give a big shout out for someone down in Mobile, Alabama. Everybody all over the world, all over the country that's listening. Even if you listen to this show tomorrow, do this for me. Give big shouts out and a big God bless you and a happy birthday to Mr. Samuel Jackson Sr. Celebrating his 79th birthday on today in Mobile, Alabama. What a blessing to see 79 years. Happy birthday, Mr. Jackson. God bless you, sir. Many more to you. We send you all the love from all of us here at Breaking Chains and YAT Radio. All right, needed to do that. All right, ladies, let's jump back into this thing. How about this right here? When they go to court, police arrest them, they go to jail, they got to go to court. They don't have the money to pay for these expensive attorneys. So they have these court-appointed attorneys, these defendant attorneys that's court-appointed, right? So they're not getting paid that big money to defend him because he don't have no money. So how do you feel about just, you know, them just pushing those type of attorneys? All of them are not bad, but I've seen some bad ones in my day. Cases I had to work in Atlanta with young people. How do you feel about the court systems, court-appointed attorneys that they push on these young men and women that are going through things? Talk about that.
Well, I think a lot of them, you know, aren't dedicated to the job. And I know it's not reality, but I saw this movie. I'm pretty sure everybody has seen this movie by now. It's on Netflix, and it's called The Fall of Grace. And, you know, it's about this old lady who got convicted of killing her husband or whatever. And, you know, she didn't want to get a lawyer or something like that. So it was, you know, the defense attorney, you know, supposed to be for her. But the one lady who was supposed to be, you know, representing her, everybody at the office she worked at kept telling her, you know, just let her plead guilty and don't just try to defend her because you're wasting her time and stuff like that. And, like, basically they were all just telling her, you don't have to work hard because, you know, they're probably just guilty anyway, which I feel like that could probably be accurate of how some defense attorneys think, because they're probably like, well, they're probably guilty anyway, so, you know, just go in there and, you know, just do whatever and don't even waste your time trying to represent them because they're probably guilty anyway. So I feel like, you know, that and, you know, how much lawyers cost is a big reason why, you know, the court system and the justice system and, you know, people getting falsely accused is like this, because a lot of people can't, you know, afford a big attorney and stuff like that. And like for example, you know, somebody was talking about the reason why, you know, black people do get, you know, arrested is because, you know, things like drugs and stuff like that have been put in our neighborhoods. So, you know, it's kind of a hard thing for black people to escape. So when they're put in these, you know, poverty-stricken neighborhoods, and, you know, people are getting taken to jail, they know that we're not going to be able to afford to they know that people in these poverty-stricken neighborhoods are not going to be able to afford to get, you know, some big hotshot defense attorney that's going to defend them properly and, you know, defend them as if they are innocent, whether or not they're innocent or not. So I just feel like, you know, that's kind of a setback from the get-go. We're being, just like a lot of other things, we're being set back before we even start the race, we're already late.
Wow.
That's good. I like that. That's good. Layla, Anaya, just think about that.
Definitely. What Ray said is it's definitely targeted towards like minorities. I'm sorry. And because they're the main ones who aren't able to afford the better lawyers. They're the ones who's not able to afford the better lawyers. But of course, the rich white dude that can't afford a good attorney. And I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
It's okay. It's okay. You want me to grab
sorry.
It?
I'm so blank-minded.
You're good. Listen, let's talk about this now. Remember now, we're talking about the court-appointed attorneys now. These court-appointed attorneys still work under that same infiltrated justice system. I'm going to say it like this, that good old boy system. Can I say it like that? Y'all ever heard the law enforcement talk about the blue wall? You hear it on TV a lot. You know what I'm saying? The blue wall. Y'all have heard that before, right?
I never heard that before.
Okay.
No.
That's the blue wall is the secret society of the law enforcement, the police departments. If you look at them, they have blue and black. They have blue and black on their tags or something. You will see it somewhere on their person or on their vehicles. Okay. So that's part of that system that was put in place yesteryear, and you was talking about the drugs infiltrating our communities. That system started back in like 1956 with J. Edgar Hoover, who was the leader of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and they had there was a program that he put together called COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program, right? And it was aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, and disrupting domestic American political organizations. But the problem with that was that they didn't do anything to the Klansmen, the skinheads, the Nazis. They didn't touch any of them. They came over and they targeted the Black Panther Party. They targeted the Nation of Islam, all black. Okay, and you were talking about the drugs. That's when the drugs and the cocaine really start coming in right after that, because Oliver North, Ronald Reagan, all of them, you know, that when those drugs hit the community, for number one, that was a way to kill us off. Number two, that was a way for us to start killing each other off. And number three, that was a way for us to fall in love with money. We've been in love with money for so long because we were taught that we were nobody and we couldn't have anything. So it was like, you know, it was like dangling a carrot in front of a donkey, you know what I'm saying, to make him get up and get some work done, you know what I'm saying, because he's going to go get that carrot. So, ladies, there's something about what you're saying that is so true that goes so far back. And that's why I talk about so much about, you know, studying your history and learning these things and learning these laws that are put out there, because a lot of these laws are still in effect. They just don't impose them on us yet, but they're still real. So when you hear something like that, how does that make you feel to know that there are laws out there that you don't even know about that makes you less than a human being, that they want to enforce to put you back in slavery? The saying from the last administration, make America great again. That has everything to do with a political move. What do y'all think about that? The politics and the justice system working hand to hand. You know what I'm saying? Being a part of the same system, the same clique. How do y'all feel about that? Your politicians and the justice system working together to make money off of our backs. How do y'all feel about that?
It's definitely very, very devastating, because I know
like, it was a little bit before, it was a while ago, my dad was talking to me about Joe Biden, and I don't remember who exactly he said, you know, implemented it, but, you know, something about drugs, and it was like, if you got 3 warnings, even if you didn't have drugs on you, if you got 3 warnings, you would be taken to jail, and, like, you didn't even have to have drugs on you, and I didn't even know that existed. I think he had told me about it, so that's just crazy. And then, like, what you were saying about the money part and how we're in love with money, it's a Kendrick Lamar lyric, and it says, like, can't take it when you die, but you can't live without it. And so it's just crazy because that's how a lot of people think about money. You can't like, it has no effect on, you know, when you die, but you can't live without money. So, you know, what you were saying about the politicians knowing that, they know that money is a very important thing to, you know, people of color. And, you know, there's a lot of people of color in poverty, so they want that money. So, you know, and that's why they introduced drugs, because you can make money off of drugs. And they knew that black people would catch on to that. So that's just crazy. And then, you know, those laws can go hand in hand. And like you said, there's a lot of stuff that even older people don't know. And that's just, you know, it's just hard to think about, like, that they want to put us down. Like, when I do, like, think about, like, you know, how the system is putting us down and, you know, trying to keep us in shackles and enslaved, my first thought is just why. And then I think about it, it's because they know how much power black people and people of color hold. Like, if the black community all came together as one, and, you know, all minorities all came together as one, they know how much power we will hold. So they don't want us to come together, and they don't want us to build up and be stronger. That's why they keep putting things out on the street that, you know, will inflict black-on-black crime or black-on-Hispanic crime or whatever. They keep doing that because they know how powerful we would be if we just band together and, you know, if we just band together, period. So I think it's crazy, and they just want to do it to keep us down because they know how powerful we are, and they know how powerful we can be.
Amen to that. You better say it. All right. Go ahead, Layla.
Yes. Everything that she said. Like, she really summarized all of it.
All right. Anaya?
That was just Anaya, Layla.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Layla said she didn't have nothing to add. She probably just agreed because I did say a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head because that's the truth. They are intimidated by you about who you are, because, you know what I'm saying, we are who God says we are. Let's get that understood, okay, y'all? I'm like for real. I want to give you a scenario or something. For number one, Genesis 1:27 says that God said, "Let us create man," you know what I'm saying, "in the image of us and after the likeness of us." You know what I'm saying? In his image, after his own likeness. That means that we look like God and we act like God. Okay? So, let me say this. Jesus the Christ, Yahshua the HaMashiach is his Hebrew name. He came here into the earth. God in the flesh, right? So he came here looking just like somebody you know. Somebody part of your family. Same color, same type of hair. Everything, right? So when I say that, I have to go to the fact about what we're celebrating this weekend, Resurrection Weekend. They murdered him. They killed him for no cause. Y'all say that you get charged. We're guilty before anything. We don't get proven innocent. We just guilty. But you're innocent before proven guilty. But he was taken before Pilate and Herod. You know what I'm saying? Herod. And guess what? They both said they found nothing wrong. They found no guilt in him. They found nothing they could charge him with, but they still murdered him and killed him. The same thing that they're doing today to us. So when people tell you ain't no real God, ain't no son, listen, your life follows the same pattern of the man called Jesus that walked on this earth. Real talk. Study it. You will see that your brothers and sisters follow the same pattern that he had to go. Persecuted, beaten, spit on, talked about, you know, all those things that he went through, we go through today. So you need to know that you are somebody. I just need to tell you that. You are somebody. Don't let the system, because listen, the disciples, two of the disciples had to go in the court system. And they told them, listen, we're gonna beat you. We're going to throw you in jail if you don't stop talking about that man named Jesus. So see, what I'm doing right now, they will persecute me for. You know what I'm saying? And that day is coming where they're going to try to persecute you for talking about God and Jesus. Really, it's coming. But the thing about it is that those two apostles said, listen, you mean to tell me, and I'm just paraphrasing, you mean to tell me you want me to listen to what you're saying and do what you're telling me instead of listening to the God that I serve who created me? You got to be crazy. Because you know who you are? God said you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, a peculiar people. Y'all special. I'm talking to y'all right now. Y'all are special. You need to start acting like it, living like it, talking like it, walking like it. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm not talking about being prideful. I'm talking about being high in your self-esteem level. You know what I'm saying? Proud of who you are. You know what I'm saying? Using your minds to create and invent and educate and teach. That's who we are, y'all. That's why they hate us so much. Because we are a powerful people. We are kings and queens of the earth. You understand? They had to bow down to us. So they brought us to America so they can make us bow down to them. And guess what? They still having problems because we'll never bow down to them. It'll never happen. So the justice system was not created for you. And, you know, when I had to get that out so y'all can understand where we are as a people and why we are here as a people and why the justice system is turned up on us like this. Because they know who we are. The problem is we don't know who we are. Once we come together, us as a people, you know what I'm saying? It's a united we stand, divided we fall. If we come together in unity, we are a powerful entity because we're God's chosen children. We are the church. We are who God say that we are. So knowing that they came after Christ, the same courts that come after our brothers and sisters, you understand? I got a son that they came after. You know what I'm saying? My son, it's caught up in that system. So it's no secret that they're not after our people. How do you, and I want to hear this from each one of you, how do you as young African-American black women feel about the justice system targeting you as a black female? And Anaya, I want to start with you on that. How do you feel about that?
Myself, I just feel as though, I would be scared to live my life, like try to live my life, because I don't know what, like I could possibly, my life could possibly stop of one thing, like one bad mistake. And I do like limit the things that I do and try to keep, you know, more of a, I don't know, like I know most teenagers, they go out and they have fun and do the most, but I do just try to keep it settled because you never know what can happen and your life could be gone in a blink of an eye based off one decision. So, yeah.
Ray?
Wow.
Me personally, I'm just like, you know, very scared, like, because like Anaya said, I know if something happens to me and I'm wrongly convicted, my life can be over. Like, I might not be able to get into college like I want to do. I might not be able to, because I want to be a neurologist, so I might not be able to do that. And it just makes me scared that, and then it makes me more scared for, you know, my counterparts, black males, because I know as black women, I have a heart, but I don't have a heart to them. So I'm just nervous that something else is going to happen to, because, you know, I have a black dad, you know, because I'm black. So I'm nervous something might happen to him. Or, you know, I have two little brothers. They're not really older. But I'm nervous that something could happen to them in the future. So it just makes me, you know, not only nervous for myself, but nervous for my counterparts. So, yeah, it just makes me all around scared and nervous because I don't know what's going to happen. If something does happen to me where, you know, I'm just at the wrong place at the wrong time, or my dad's at the wrong place at the wrong time, or so on and so forth.
Wow. All right, Layla. Wow.
Yeah, I definitely agree on Ray with that because I have three brothers of mine, all black, and uncles and cousins and my granddad, my dad, all of them. I'm always going to be worried about them. One time
my cousins, they got into an altercation with the police, and I was kind of scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if they were going to pull a gun out on them or us or anybody. And the situation wasn't real serious, but you could tell how the how one of the police officers were handling the job. You could tell that he was racist. You could just tell by how he was like handling the situation and how one of the other officers was like talking to him and us that he had a problem and he had a problem with not only us but black people in general. And it's just scary to think about that these people who are supposed to be keeping us safe that we're scared of, and we never know one day if I get pulled over or one of my family members get pulled over, what's going to happen? And that's just really scary to think about. And it's not something as a 16-year-old girl that I should be worrying about. That's not something I should be worrying about. But as a 16-year-old black girl, it's something that I am worried about. As a 16-year-old black girl whose whole family is black, it's something that I'm always going to have to worry about. But it's not something that, for example, a 16-year-old white girl, the same age as me, she doesn't really have to worry about the same things that I have to worry about on a daily basis.
Wow. Those were some powerful answers. Heartbreaking, but powerful to hear our future queens of the earth being afraid of the men that are supposed to protect and serve them. One thing about it, young ladies and young men out there, everyone that works for the government, no matter what municipality it is, from federal to state to local, every last one of them works for you. You are actually their boss. You pay their salaries. And no one has probably ever told you that, but as long as your parents work and you work and somebody's paying taxes, you are paying the salary of every police officer, every law enforcement, every politician, the president of this United States. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is that we as black people are the big spenders in the world. We spend the most money. We spend the most money. But we are treated less than any human being. So here's the thing. One thing that we should do, we should start doing. Every day that you go out, you should be practicing and bringing people in to unify them. We should unify as a people, not to go to war, but to unify the people as a people to uplift, you know what I'm saying, to motivate, to inspire, to empower. You know what I'm saying? To uplift, you know, because we have to do that. And one of the most things about it is that Romans 8:37, remember that scripture. Romans 8:37 say, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I just told you about Jesus, what he went through and the same thing we're going through today. So we don't have to always fight our battles physically. You know what I'm saying? The battle is not ours anyway. It just looked like it is because we're looking at it from the physical. If we come together in the spiritual realm of things, we'll be able to unify as a people, and then we'll be able to handle our own people and do something about it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Pastor Zena. She's hanging on. Pastor Kemp is hanging on, and we're going to get our final comments from our young ladies. All right, when we come back, my adults, my pastors, make sure you keep a watch on your time. We got a few minutes, 6:30. We want to hear from our young ladies again, all right? All right, everybody, it's Breaking Chains. You Talk. YAT Radio is live, 858-357-9137. Let's move on from this nonsense and grow as a people. Let's go.
Hey, Hannah. I'm closing chapters. I'm turning pages, glory to glory.
keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Hey, I'm moving on. Hey, 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 hey. I know my rear view can't compare.
Powerful show. We need to move on from a lot of things we've been carrying. We need to go and dump it at the dump and move on. How about that? Want to bring a couple hour adults on. Our pastors are standing by. Want to give them a few minutes to say something to our young ladies. We're talking about the justice system today. All right. Want to go to the phone lines and bring her on. Good evening. God bless you. Good evening, Pastor Zena. How you doing, ma'am?
Good evening, everybody. Okay.
Everybody.
I came in at the last minute, but I did catch a good portion of it, and where I was talking about the justice system.
Yes, ma'am.
And how do you feel about the justice system targeting young black women, females? Well, young black females are targeted more than white women would ever be targeted. And the only way a white woman would be targeted if she hang around black women. And that's when she would be targeted. But when it comes down to blacks as a whole, black males and black females, they get charged more and get charged different from what a white female or male would get charged. They can sell the same drugs. They can do the same crime. They can do whatever. But when it comes down to the justice system, justice is not rendered because that black person is going to get a different charge than that white person will. And so you also talked about we spend more money as black people. We keep everything open. Yeah, we keep everything. We keep the mall open. We actually keep the mall open. We go out there and we buy high-priced tennis shoes, high-priced clothes. We got a big, nice car in the parking lot or the driveway, and we just spend more money. But even during Christmas time, and so during Christmas time, we go out there and we buy this and we buy that, and we break ourselves and don't have the money to pay the bills for the next month. When I have seen white people go out there and they buy books. They buy books for Christmas. They exchange gifts, and they exchange a book probably for a book. And so we have to learn how to save for harder times. And also, one more thing, brother. I'm speaking to y'all as young black women. Reverend Rod, he just said that the scripture says that you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people, and God fearfully and wonderfully made you. And so regardless of how people treat you, what people say, you know who you are. When you read the word of God and you listen to the affirmations of his word, when he say you are who you are, that's who you are. You're Amen. Not who they say you are.
That's
you're
right.
Who God says you are. And so keep your head up. Keep your head up above criticism. Keep your head up above all and anything that can ever come up against you. Don't let nothing hold you back. And baby, what you said, you want to be a neurologist, go and be that neurologist. Go and be who you want to be, okay? Let nothing hold you back. Yeah, you're going to get some bumps and bruises on the way, but that's okay. That's growing pains. I'm finished.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Zena. Powerful words. Powerful words to our young people. Thank you very much. We love you for that. Well, God bless you. Good evening. Want to welcome to the show. I want to say good evening to Pastor Kip, our overseer. Good evening, sir. You're on the show. We're talking about the justice system.
good evening to all these wonderful, wonderful young ladies that speak so eloquent and truthful. Not decades, but centuries, it's been that way where you have to be twice as good as a white person, then you could still be twice as good as a Caucasian, and don't get what they can get. It's something they call white privilege. In the 1800s, we were considered as chattel. The police was really about like slave catchers. And even to the day, the Kerner's report says that we're dealing with a separate and unequal system in America. It's like, and I want you to understand this, but I want you to, hold like Sister Zena said, hold your head up. Be proud of your hair, your nose, your eye. Be proud of who you are. Don't try to be anybody but yourself. No one could beat you being you. Just be yourself and trust God. They have this thing whereas white women are considered as a minority. They passed the bill to get minorities in. And so when they passed that bill, they made white females as minority. So all they did, if they fire a black female, they hire a white female because she was considered a minority too. If they fire a black male, they could hire a white female So all the money is still coming to the same house it was coming to from the beginning. Things haven't really changed. If you look at the prison system, the prison system is against blacks. Whites do the same crime. They go home, and you go to prison. If you think, if you want to learn a lot about them, there's a white guy, and he go around and he speak, and I'm going to think of his name, but you need to really listen at him, because they were not called white until 1681, and they separated because they had so many poor whites in America, and they had the slaves, and they only had a very few rich people in America. And then the slaves and these poor whites start joining together, and when the masters and those with money found out, they separate them and call, that's how the name white came up. That's when it became white people. And if you look it up, it's only in America you would call European. But the justice system is bent against you. It is bent against you. If you do something wrong, you go to jail. Their children get a pat on the hand. Look at what they call about the what you call them epidemic, the drug epidemic now. Well, they're taking these, the heroin and all these other drugs, and white kids OD. Now they're talking about it's a sickness and everything else. But when the cocaine and crack epidemic was out, they locked up the black kids. But now it's mainly white kids ODing, and it's a different thing. But my thing is, you can learn what study systemic racism against blacks. And you'll find out that there are so many things that they have against you, even right now, you know, when you're looking for jobs and everything else. They're going to hire a white person before you, but don't let that down you. Keep your head up and push forward. Because if God be for you, no one can stand against you.
Amen.
I want to tell you guys that I faced it. And all through my life, and I see it still going on, even to this very day. We haven't dropped the ball. You guys still have to fight for your rights. And when I say fight, I'm not talking about physically, but through try to get them to use the Constitution to stand for you. But right now, you have different people in the Supreme Court and others that are Republicans and racists. The old generation may have to die off until so a new one could come up that will really treat people fair. But right now, it's not. I'm going to give you case in front. And like, if you understand this, the slaves were freed in 1865. The Civil Rights Bill was passed in 1964. But it was not enacted. They didn't enact it until 1974. So that's 47 years ago. They want you to catch up with them, and you only had some rights for 47 years. That's when they passed the Civil Rights Bill. It was passed in 64, but it wasn't enacted until 74. They didn't really integrate schools. There are more private schools than ever before. All these private schools is because they didn't want their kids to go to school with you. The ones that go to public school are people without finances, unless your school is a magnet school. But you can learn as much as the others can learn, but just stay in your books and push Amen. To learn. And push to learn. But God is going to be with you, and I love to hear the conversation you young ladies are having. Just be strong in the might of God and learn all you can learn. That's something no one could ever take from you. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Pastor Kim, for that. We love you, sir. All right, ladies, let's get your final comments, and, you know, because this has been a powerful show, I thank y'all for this powerful topic that you wanted to talk about. Y'all doing an awesome job every Friday. So, Ray, come on with your final comments, man.
I just want to say my final comment is that I think I'm trying to kind of sum up, because I did say a lot. I'm trying to think of a way to sum it up. But I think, actually, I'm going to say, because I have a shirt right now that says no freedom until we're all equal, that Layla made me. So I kind of just wanted to resonate with that, because we're not all equal, and we're not all equal. Like, for example, when when segregation was first taking place, it says separate but equal, but that's not the case. And I don't think it so far will ever be the case, because we're not equal to the white man. We don't have the same privileges. We don't get the same experiences. And we don't get to be proven guilty. We have to be proven innocent. Okay, that's final remark.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, Layla.
One second, hold up. Okay, here you go.
I definitely agree with what Ray was saying, that we won't, be free until we're all equal, and it's gonna take a lot for us to get to a place like that. And to be honest, at this point in time, I don't think we'll ever actually get there, because racists just breed racists, and they teach their kids all these stereotypes and how to feel about us, and they just continue to teach them all of that. And I just feel like that we're never really going to get into a place that we're fully going to be equal to the white man and woman. And I just feel like we need to, maybe more of us need to get into like the courts and the just with the laws and all of that, and try to change it for ourselves, because they're not going to do it for us. So we need to try to take charge and action of our own, and try to, if we want change, we need to do it for ourselves, because they're not going to do it for us. We have to take action of our own lives and our own future, if we want to ever even be a little bit equal to them, or if we want to be over them. So we don't have to worry about them helping us be equal to them. We just need to do it for ourselves.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all talking today. All right, Anaya.
Hey. So my final comments would be just that change starts with you. And if we want to make a difference, like, we can't really change how the world is already, but we can change how we see the world, how we act on certain things. So I would just say, we can do better for ourselves and not condone to, like, the world things and what other people do, and just, yeah, focus on ourselves and doing what's best for us, because we can't make everybody change, you know? So, yeah, change starts with us.
That's good. That's good. That's right, because change starts with the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, the person that you're looking at. You starts with you. What a powerful show. I want to thank Ray, Layla, and Anaya for such a powerful show. You young ladies are putting it down, and we applaud you. We love you for what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and we're gonna keep bringing you giving you this platform to bring your voices to be heard. So thank you very much. We applaud you. All right, let's get ready to wrap up the show. Every night we honor, we have a Black History honoree. And it's something, this Black History honoree that I have tonight, it's something because this microphone that I'm talking on, those phones that you're talking on, every microphone, hearing aid, all of those type of electrolytes, it's called the electric. And this was co-invented by Mr. James E. West in 1964. And more than 90% of the microphones used today, including the microphones used in phones, cameras, was invented by this Black man, Dr. James E. West. And he was tasked with creating a more sensitive and compact microphone while working at Bell Labs in 1960. Along with his German colleague, West invented the foil electric microphone, which was considerably less expensive to produce than the typically used condenser microphone. 2 years after it was invented, the final model of the microphone was developed, and in 1964, they patented a landmark invention. Only 4 years later, the new microphone was in wide production and was being used in hearing aids, tape recorders, and most telephones and baby monitors. And today, they're in your iPhones, all your telephones, and it was invented by Dr. James E. West, a black man. How about that? Boy, look at here. So that's our Black History honoree for today. Let's talk about our health tip for today. Young and old, let's make sure that we exercise daily, stretch our bones, put 64 ounces of water in your body every day. If you don't know what that is, that's 8 glasses with 8 ounces in it. Or you can get 4 bottles of water, 16 ounces, get 4 of them, and drink them every day. That's the minimum that you should put in your body, 64 ounces of water every day. Eat your vegetables, eat your fruit, and make sure you cut back on all the fried foods, cut back on the junk food, and at least one day out of the week, don't have no meat in your diet. Just all vegetables. How about that? And we need you to get healthy mentally, physically, and most importantly, spiritually. Study your word of God to show yourself approved before God. You need to be approving yourself before God. Not man. Stay in the word. Pray without ceasing, because the scriptures say the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, it availeth much. All right? Get healthy, y'all. All right, we thank you for turning us on this afternoon, Breaking Chains with You Talk. Which one of you young ladies would like to pray us out today?
I'll pray us out. Okay. Please bow your head. Father God, thank you for bringing us here to talk about these important topics among ourselves today. Thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us strength. Thank you for everything you've done for us in our life to give us these amazing opportunities that we have been given. Thank you for bringing everybody here to listen today, and bless everybody who needs that blessing, and continue to bless me and my family and everyone else in their families. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow morning at 10:15, wherever you find yourself in the world, 10:15 Central Standard Time, stop for a few minutes and say a prayer with us. We'll be praying in unison, and we need you to be praying with us. Wherever you are, just join us in prayer to pray for our world, pray for our families, comfort and strength to those that have lost loved ones that are sick right now. Let's pray for everyone. And also, everybody, don't forget, let's say it together. Happy birthday to Mr. Samuel Jackson, Sr., celebrating
birthday.
His birthday down in Mobile, Alabama, 79 years old. He's healthy. He made it to 79. Some people didn't make it there. So, Mr. Jackson, happy birthday to you, sir. God bless you. We love you from Breaking Chains. Everybody, have yourself a wonderful evening. Say again. Go ahead and tell
him. Happy birthday.
All right, everybody. We'll see you back here Sunday evening, 5:00, for Raising the Sound and Breaking Chains. I have yourself a wonderful evening. God bless you. Remember, we love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Good night, Pastor Zena. Good night, Pastor Kim. Love y'all. Talk to y'all later. Good night, everybody.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. We are dying,
we are dying.
They are lying, hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be,
I'm just trying to be.
Great as I can be,
great as I can be.
Grow with one another, living happily,
living happily.
But you hurting me,
you hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. Yeah. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me. Yeah.
feel the grave,
can't
family.
Feel the grave,
breathe
family.
Another day,
breathe
family.
Another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through it all. Know how to walk the call. We're family. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love you, my
people.
People. I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people.
We're family.
Wow, wow. Yeah, you and me. Hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I say, oh,
it's time to
thank you for logging on. You've been listening to Breaking Chains and Youth Talk, heard every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and the society that they live in. It's Breaking Chains and Youth Talk every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. Shoot us an email at webreakingchains@gmail.com or call in and get involved in the conversation, 858-357-9137. It's Breaking Chains and Youth Talk on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence. Being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.